Coming up on today's show,
God isn't going to let you sit there in sorrow because you're his son or his daughter, and that would pain him to see that. So he's going to help you recover.
Peace be with you. This is Catholic Sports Radio, located at the intersection of your faith life and sports life, and on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, YouTube, the SiriusXM app, and lots of other platforms. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking with Catholic guests who are current or former athletes, coaches, referees, umpires, clergy, administrators, and more from the pro, amateur, and scholastic ranks, about the intersection of their faith life and their sports life. The show website is catholicsportsradio.net or catholicsportsradio.com. They will both get you to the same place. Be sure that you have signed up there for the free e-newsletter that gets sent out every Monday. And then social media for this show is Facebook, X, YouTube, and Instagram, all of which there are links for at the top of the website. I invite you to engage with me and the show through one or more of those. The Catholic Sports Radio community is the Facebook group. That's the name of it. Its members are both listeners and some past guests. There is no cost to join that. Below my picture, near the top of the homepage of catholicsportsradio.net, there is a white button that says Join Our Facebook Group. Simply tap or click on that to get taken there. I so enjoy hearing from listeners. I can't tell you. Social media, as well as the website, all give you the opportunity to contact me, as does traditional email, which you can do through bruce@catholicsportsradio.net. Now on to my ministry moment for this episode. Why do we do what we do when it comes to mixing faith and sports? Why do athletes make the sign of the cross before or after competition, or sometimes even during play? Why is there prayer in the locker room beforehand? Why do athletes gather away from the playing field to gather together for a Bible study rather than only when the coaches want to do film study? Why do we see athletes meet at midfield immediately after the game ends and go down on one knee to pray together? The answer is that we are following what is in the spiritual playbook known as the Bible. We are being obedient to what we have been called to do as Catholic Christians. We are demonstrating our devotion to Christ, our thanks to God, and showing others that we are believers and devoted sons and daughters of our Father in heaven. In the New Testament, 1 John chapter 4 says in verses 14 and 16, quote, "Moreover, we have seen and testify that the Father sent his Son as Savior of the world. We have come to know and to believe in the love God has for us. God is love, and whoever remains in love remains in God, and God in him." Moving on now with this week's episode, my guest is a goalie for the Lake Michigan College Redhawks, having also played club soccer for the Premier One, Force Shockwave. In high school, he not only was a two-year varsity starter, but two-time team captain, two-time team MVP, two-time first-team all-conference, and also earned first-team all-county and first-team all-region honors. Along the way, he set the school record for most saves in a game and most saves in a career. He was also a part of the football and basketball teams in high school. Welcome to Catholic Sports Radio, Gabe James.
Hi, thank you for having me.
You bet, Gabe. Let's start off by having you share with us where you were born and raised, as well as what the family size was.
I was born and raised in Otsego, Michigan, and there were five total kids, all boys, and I was the youngest.
Where is Otsego in Michigan?
About, like, I'd say 30 minutes south from Grand Rapids.
Ah, okay. I'm almost certain that you are a cradle Catholic. Share with us about the presence of the Catholic faith in the James household when you were a young boy, including Catholic education.
To start with Catholic education, I went to my Catholic school, St. Margaret's, from preschool all the way through eighth grade to when I graduated. It was very prominent. My mom was very big on us being Catholic, As soon as I could, I started altar serving, and she was she did rosary moms at my Catholic church, so we were very big in the rosary. So a lot of that stuff just sits heavy with me.
How long did you altar serve for?
I altar served from right after communion, so like second grade, all the way up to my senior year in high school.
Wow. Wow. In the intro, I mentioned soccer, football, and basketball. When did you first start competing in sports? Who or what got you interested in participating? And how has soccer emerged as the one you have chosen to stick with?
Well, I started playing flag football in kindergarten, and it always was just like my older brother setting that example of playing sports. So that really pushed me into it. And then by the time I hit around 7th, 8th grade, soccer just started to kind of emerge as like the one that I was most enjoying. I found the people I liked the most there. And basketball was kind of just a side to help keep me active in the winter. But soccer really just like moved my love for the sport, and it just made me want to keep playing it.
So does Otsego, Michigan mean that you're a Detroit Lions and Detroit Pistons fan going back to the football and basketball that you played?
Sadly, it does not. I am a Bears fan, Chicago Bears. And then I honestly don't really follow basketball, but if I had to, I would say I would be a Detroit Pistons fan.
Okay. Soccer is a team sport, yet as the goalie, there could be times of feeling alone. I'm talking about when play is down at the other end of the field. As tempting as it is for me to assume, which is always a bad word, that, well, of course you have to mentally stay sharp and be prepared for when play comes back down to your end of the field. I could see how distractions could happen, say, looking into the stands at the fans, for example. Is there an opportunity, Gabe, to pray or talk to God in those moments? Or is it, no, you do have to make sure you're constantly dialed into the game for when play does come back to your end of the field?
I would say if it's a pretty like down and back game, it's a little harder to pray. But if it's a slow game, there are times I've caught myself just asking God to help me stay active and present in the moment, and that when an opportunity comes for me to do what I have to do, that he helps me to make the save that I have to make.
Wow. But make no mistake, Lake Michigan College is a public institution, so I can't imagine, and please feel free to correct me if I'm wrong, I can't imagine that there is any kind of, I don't know that the word is formation, but any kind of spiritual presence within the program?
Well, I don't know if necessarily there's supposed to be, but we had a lot of foreigners and kids who are very strong in their faith as well, a lot of Catholics. And before every single game, our captain, he would huddle us up into a circle and we would say a prayer to the Lord.
Wow. And how does that go over with the players who are not Christian, who are not believers, who don't really practice faith?
I think just the team having as much chemistry as we did, I think they saw that it really mattered to a lot of us. So they were okay with it, and they went along with it for us.
Wow. Oh, that's so good to hear. There are guests who come on this show, and the topic comes up about sports conflicting with attending Mass, meaning having a game on Sunday, even tougher when it's an away game. Have you, Gabe, in fact, encountered this challenge? I'm going to say at Lake Michigan College, but I guess I should also consider when you were playing soccer in high school too. And if so, how did you deal with it?
It didn't come up as much in college. It more so came up when I played club, because that was in the spring, so games were over the weekend. If we were traveling away, my mom and my dad, we would try to find a church that we could go to if we had the time. If not, it was kind of just, we would say some prayers in the car. We would say the rosary. We would just find a way to be able to still praise God on his holy day.
I see. Wow. Yeah, and audience, if you've been with me a long time, you know that this is something that we hear a little bit too much about sports teams being faced with scheduling. I'm saying in college, but Gabe, you mentioned club. By the way, playing from Lake Michigan College, does that mean that they don't want you playing club outside of the Red Hawks season, and you know, for reasons of injury and things like that, or are you active in the summer playing soccer elsewhere?
In the summer, yeah, right now, I ended up joining a men's league team yesterday. So they're okay with us playing over the summer. It's more like in our winter off season, right before we get into spring, some kids were getting hurt playing like indoor leagues and stuff. So they were a little bit upset with us about that and didn't want us to do that. But over the summer, it's kind of like free game. We can play where we want to play.
And this men's league, is that something recreational? What does that look like in terms of how formal it is or is not?
It's a co-ed league. It's kind of formal, informal. Like every team is gonna like vary on skill wise and stuff. Everybody's played soccer, of course. So it's not like I can just walk in and slouch around, but it's definitely a little slower than what I'm used to from college.
So, despite that, still useful for you just to kind of get the reps, I'm guessing.
Oh yeah. It's very nice to be able to keep getting game experience and just like seeing different things, different flow of the game, all that stuff's very helpful.
Okay. Interesting. Interesting. Oh, folks, here's your opportunity to grab some tissues. Consider yourselves warned because Gabe does, unfortunately, have a truly heartbreaking story that he has agreed to share with us today. So do prepare yourselves, as I know it is going to be emotional for all of us to hear. I am glad that he shared already about having attended St. Margaret's Catholic School from preschool to eighth grade. Alliance Catholic Credit Union is a proud sponsor of Catholic Sports Radio, and when you become a member of Alliance Catholic Credit Union, you are helping to support Catholic education. Through Alliance Catholic Foundation, they provide over $50,000 in scholarships every year to families. 50, 50, $50,000. Catholic high school students and young people pursuing a college degree. By becoming a friend of the foundation, you help support this work and are eligible to take advantage of all the benefits offered by Alliance Catholic Credit Union. Learn more at alliancecatholic.com. Alliance Catholic Credit Union, a financial home for Catholics where banking feels like a blessing. Federally insured by NCUA. Please be sure to tell them you heard about them on Catholic Sports Radio. Before I have Gabe tell us his heartbreaking story, I am happy to be able to share some good news. I am pleased to be able to send a public thanks this week to Promise Bound Charities for the kind financial gift that they made to my Catholic Sports Radio ministry. I am truly grateful for that and said as much in an email discussion, but wanted to make sure that I also said so publicly. In fact, they have an annual golf tournament coming up on August 22nd, and I am going to post in the Catholic Sports Radio community, the Facebook group, a link so that you can go and look further into that in case you or someone you know might be interested in participating. I saw a sentence on their website that said, quote, "Promise Bound Charities is about taking Christian joy to others," end quote, which kind of reminds me how I am often heard on this show encouraging you all to step out in holy boldness. Anyhow, their financial gift helps me as I face numerous costs in operating Catholic Sports Radio both on and off the air, many of which I give specific examples of, exact dollar amounts on numerous episodes of this show, so that you know how your contribution is being used. The note that was attached to the gift from Promise Bound Charities said, quote, "Bruce, thank you for bringing Christ to others through sports," end quote. One of my prayers is that you too believe in the work that I am doing and see value in all that I do on and off the air and would like to help support these efforts. Since this is all voluntary for me, not a paid full or part-time job, so I ask you to prayerfully consider Catholic Sports Radio as part of your tithing. You can do so via the blue Donate to CSR button on the homepage of CatholicSportsRadio.net. That method is fast, it is easy, and it is secure. It will allow you to use your credit card, debit card, or even PayPal, and you type in whatever amount you want. There is no drop-down list of amounts to choose from. That is how Promise Bound Charities sent in their financial gift. Alternatively, and this is probably attractive to those who do not like putting credit card information on the internet, you can write to me through the website, social media, or by emailing me through bruce@catholicsportsradio.net for information on sending a check through the mail. And then, as you are hearing me do this week, with Promise Bound Charities. With your permission, I will happily say your name on an upcoming episode of the show as a public thanks, or as some have asked me to do, you can direct me to keep it anonymous. I am grateful for your prayerful consideration to include this ministry as part of your tithing as I continue working to bring us all closer to Jesus through the mix of faith and sports. Gabe, one thing that I wish you and I did not have in common is having lost a parent. I made it publicly known that last August I lost my father. In fact, we have had some really tough occasions we have had to navigate recently. May 13th was exactly 1 year since my dad fell, which caused the brain bleed that started the 3.5 month journey toward his eventual passing. And 1 week later, May 20th, was the first instance of my parents' wedding anniversary without my dad here. And Gabe, sadly, 1 month after my dad passed away, you lost your mother. And by the way, having a game 2 days later, I know it is still so tough for me to talk about having lost my dad, but to the extent that you are comfortable sharing, Gabe, can you take us through staying strong in your faith as you went through losing your mom last September?
Yeah, I'd say this month especially has really been difficult for me because Mother's Day, it was her birthday this month. But for that game, it was awesome because two of my roommates from college were on my team and they had shirts that they were wearing for my mom during warmups, which really meant a lot to me. And going through all of it was taking a toll on my mental health and my faith life. I found it harder to kind of find myself going out of the way to do stuff that I normally would, because I just found it hard to understand why somebody who brought me so like actively through my faith into my faith is just gone. So that was definitely the most difficult part, but I had so many people around me that made it so much easier for me and made it just impossible to leave my faith. And they helped me to understand that the trials that you go through, you get broken down, but there's always a build back up, and that you're never going to be truly alone. And there's no point that I would ever think to leave my faith because I lost my mom, because she's the one who brought me into it, and she's the one who showed me how to live actively and fiercely through God. So what I try to do is I try to live as actively and as fiercely through God and for her as best as I can.
Yeah, and we heard in the first half of the show that as you talked about the presence of the faith in the James household when you were a young boy, we kept hearing my mom this, my mom that, and you're spot on with what you just shared with us, because how would you be honoring all that she did for you in raising you in the Catholic faith if you decided, well, I lost her, where is God, why would he do this to me, I'm going to abandon that faith that she made so important to me?
It's hard still, definitely, but in a way it honestly made me stronger in my faith, because it gives me something more to believe in. It gives me more certainty that I know that he's up there and that she's up there in heaven with him. And that just pushes me to believe stronger through him, because in the end, my goal is to get to heaven and to be able to reunite with my mom and to reunite with God.
Now, what is the age range of you and your siblings as it relates to the family dynamic at home now with her gone?
So the oldest, he is 30 right now. The second, he's 28, I think. And then it's 22, 21, and then I'm 19. So the youngest three, we are still all at home. I don't know if we really talk about it as much, but we're very open with each other about it. All our brothers check in on each other. The oldest two definitely had the hardest time with it. I was around with my mom going through chemotherapy and everything, so it was a little easier for me to understand what all was going on. But as brothers, it's our mom got us together. I mean, we're here together with each other. We live through our faith together, and we just love to check up on each other, make sure that we're all doing okay, see how we're all feeling. It's a really nice connection, and I'm very happy to have that.
And I must say that I did not know what caused her passing, but now that you mentioned chemo, we are safe to assume that it was some form of cancer.
Yes, it was a very rare cancer called cholangiocarcinoma, which is cancer of the bile duct.
Last August, on episode 342, my guest was Brandon Alleman, who runs Livin' U, as in the letter U, like university. Gabe, you have been on 4 retreats through his ministry, which you say really shifted your faith and have helped you grow into who you are. How so?
I'd say the first one I went to, I was a freshman in high school, so I was still a little, like, unknowing on where I was in my faith, but his retreats, they all, I don't know how he managed it, but they all hit me very specifically every time. And I don't know if I could honestly recall every single one of them, but somehow it related to my life, my faith, to something going on. And as I went through the years, I started to be able to speak up more. I became more prominent in being able to share what I think, what I feel, what I'm hearing from the Lord. And by the time I hit my senior year, I was the most prominent speaker. It was whenever we did an activity, I was always going to share first because I was the most open. I was the most ready to just let people know what I felt, what I hear, what I'm seeing. And he definitely helped shape my faith, be able to be somebody who is willing to, like, put myself out there and to not back down from my faith and to not let people talk about my faith around me in a bad way and to just not speak up about it.
But being that you just lost your mother in September and these 4 retreats through Brandon's ministry sound like they all happened before that, what is this testimony that you have been sharing at his retreats?
So I went back this year for the high school retreat. So I shared my own testimony. It started with me saying that we all have something that is the happiness in our life, that something that brings us happiness. And I said that was my mother. And I recently lost my mother. It's only been 6 months, which is really weird for me, to be honest. But I told all the kids there that you can't look to just lose that thing that you say brings you happiness and to just live with life in sorrow. You have to be willing to be able to keep your faith strong, keep your life strong, keep believing in God, that something else will come into your life that can bring you the same joy, the same happiness, because God isn't going to let you sit there in sorrow because you're his son or his daughter, and that would pain him to see that. So he's going to help you recover. And for me, it was soccer. It was my friends. It was all the people at my church. I mean, it was Brandon. I mean, they all are a source of happiness for me in my life that helps me to keep pushing through it no matter how difficult it gets, because I can look at myself and see myself in front of these kids and I can say that I'm happy with how I have come out as a man. I know that my mom would be happy, and I know that the way I'm attempting to live out my life is something that I think God could say he'd be happy with me for.
You are hoping to chaperone a mission trip this summer to New Mexico. Is that through Livin' U? Is that through your church? What is that initiative all about?
It's through my church, and it's just, I mean, all those kids mean so much to me. There's just a group of young boys. I think a lot of them are sophomores going into juniors, and I mean, there was our mission trip to North Carolina. It was about 1 in the morning. We're all messing around, and it gets a little deep, and this kid who's a sophomore, his name's Aiden Robertson, he goes, "Gabe, I would just love if we could, like, take a break from this and if we could all just pray over you and pray for your mom." And these 3 sophomore boys surround me, who's a senior in high school, graduating out to go to college, and they all just start praying over me. So me being able to go back and chaperone for them and to keep being like a role model for them is one of the biggest and best things I could ever see myself doing.
Fantastic. Just to clarify, you told me in the lead up to today that you have been on 5 mission trips, Florida twice, Virginia, North Carolina, and Tennessee. Are those the trips you have already told us about or no? But regardless of your answer, what keeps you interested in continuing to go on more and more of these instead of thinking, okay, I think I've done enough by now that I don't need to do any more? I've pretty much got the picture at this point.
I haven't really shared anything about the mission trips. The two Florida ones, one was deconstruction after the hurricane. The other one was reconstructing after the hurricane. Tennessee was kind of just helping around the community. Virginia was also just kind of helping around the community. And I think the thing that keeps bringing me back is that it's so nice to see so many young kids be willing to give up a week of their summer and to just go down and give up their time, their efforts, their hard work, and to just give to these other people, knowing that they're less fortunate than them, but that doesn't make them any less human than we are. And it's just amazing to see them help. And as I've gone through those five mission trips, I've gotten better myself over my work ethic, how I see it, how I treat it. And it truly is an awe to just take a step back and to just see everybody being so willing to work and to just put that effort in to make these people's lives a little bit better. No matter how hard we try, we always try to put our full effort into it.
Whew. Audience, this is tremendous testimony that we're hearing this week, because it sounds to me, Gabe, as though you're going into your sophomore year of college in the fall. Is that correct?
Yes.
So the level, audience, the level of maturity, the level of devotion that we've heard today from Gabe, I said that he has gone on four retreats through Live in You, Brandon Alleman's ministry. He told us about the mission trip that he wants to chaperone to New Mexico this summer. That's five. And then five additional mission trips that he's already been on that he just kind of summarized for us. So 10 mission trips for someone who's only going into their sophomore year of college, and he's hungry for more. And I think, Gabe, that's why you have been able to give us such great testimony today, is because you are hungry. You do thirst. You do know that your cup is not full, and you just keep going back looking for, listening for whatever else the Lord has for you.
Yeah, it's a lot for me, but I think the best thing for me is to just keep living out my faith, because in the end, my faith is what I see as one of the most important things in my life. Because if I lose my faith, I honestly lose who I think I am as a person, because I don't see any time in my life where I am not a devout Catholic who goes to church every Sunday.
Outstanding. Let's close with a fun soccer question. We all know that the World Cup will be contested in North America this month, including a number of cities throughout the United States. Gabe, will you attend any games? Is it safe to assume you'll be rooting for Team USA? What are you looking forward to the most?
I wish I could say I was attending some games. I cannot. I wish I could. I would say I am rooting for Team USA. If they do get knocked out, though, I would say everybody go for Spain or England.
Why do you say that?
Spain has a really good youngster. He's like 20, and he's already one of the best in the world. And England's just a safe bet. I mean, they're always talking about soccer this, soccer that. So,
or football, as they would have us call it.
Yeah, exactly. I'd get corrected by some of them out there.
Well, Gabe, it's been wonderful having you on the show. God bless you. Thank you ever so much for making time to be on Catholic Sports Radio.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. My pleasure. And audience, it's fitting that we close this week's episode with one of our athletes' prayers. This is the one that is called Don't Quit. And let's pray that together right now in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. When things go wrong, as they sometimes will, when the road you are trudging seems all uphill, when the funds are low and the debts are high, and you want to smile but you have to sigh, when care is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but don't you quit. Life is strange with its twists and turns, as every one of us sometimes learns. And many a fellow turns about when he might have won had he stuck it out. Don't give up, though the pace seems slow. You may succeed with another blow. Often the goal is nearer than it seems to a faint and faltering man. Often the struggler has given up when he might have captured the victor's cup, and he learned too late when the night came down how close he was to the golden crown. Success is failure turned inside out, the silver tint of the clouds of doubt. And when you never can tell how close you are, it may be near when it seems afar. So stick to the fight when you are hardest hit. It is when things seem worst, you must not quit. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thanks so much for listening. This is Catholic Sports Radio. Find more at catholicsportsradio.net, as well as on Facebook, X, YouTube, and Instagram. It is at Cath Sports Radio on all those, C-A-T-H, at Cath Sports Radio. I'm Bruce Wozniak, and remember, it's not whether you win or lose, it's that it's Jesus that you always choose.